Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are. Dan?
Yes, sir.
Dan?
Yep.
What movie represents this season most to you?
The fall or the winter?
The winter.
Well, obviously.
Don't say Winter's Bone.
I was going to say The Family Man starring Nicolas Cage. I think that takes time around Christmas.
Fair enough.
I think it does. I don't know. Huh. Let's see. Winter. Maybe Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Really?
The Winter Queen, right? Isn't that the, who,
I think she's the Snow Queen, the Ice Queen,
something like that.
Yeah.
I always resist calling her the Ice Queen since such a pejorative term for ladies. Anyway, this is a show where I don't know all that much about seasonalities of movies, but I do know a lot about Alex Jones.
Uh-huh. And I only know what you tell me about Alex Jones.
That is correct.
Exactly.
And to our folks who like to know about novelty beverages, today we're drinking Lagunitas Daytime Ale. It is a fractional IPA, which we learned is not a great thing.
No,
it's
kind
of... Right before the show. It means it has a lower alcohol content.
Kind of lame.
Today, Jordan, we are doing Wacky Wednesday.
Yay!
I got an interesting topic for us to cover, and we will get into it in just 1 second. But before we do, I'd like to say thank you to a couple new people who have signed up and are supporting the show. This person, I'm positive I'm going to mispronounce their name, and I apologize in advance. But Christops, I'd like to thank you for supporting the show. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much.
You did actually pronounce that correctly, I believe.
I did?
Yeah, because that's also the name of Kristaps Porzingis, famous basketball player for the Knicks.
Well,
injured this year, but he is a rising superstar.
I apologize for my preemptive apology.
There you go.
Secondly, I'd like to say thank you to Emily. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
And that's Emily spelled E-M-I-L-E-E.
Oh, I like that.
Cool spelling of Emily. Also, I'd like to say thank you to Fiona. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Fiona.
Fiona, my favorite Adventure Time character.
Also my favorite apple.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
That was the equivalent of you booing me. I'd like to also say thank you to somebody who took their donation and bumped it up to a higher level, and we appreciate it also very much. So, Stella, you are now a globalist.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom.
Thank you, Stella. If you are out there listening and you would like to support the show and what we do, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking that button that says support the show. We would appreciate it oh so very much.
Very much.
So, Jordan, we got a weird, wacky Wednesday thing going this month.
Uh-huh. How many hammers are you going to drop on this one?
I don't know if I have any hammers, actually.
Liar.
I'm not trying to lull you into a false sense of security.
You are always lulling me into a false sense of security.
So, we've gone over Reverend Manning. We went over the star child who made good on her life.
Yes.
We went over Coach Dave last week, and that was a wildly weird episode.
Oh, boy, Coach Dave.
So, here's the deal.
What's the deal?
When I was going over Coach Dave, I found a lot more that I wanted to talk about, and I realized that if I did, it would end up being a 4-hour episode. And I don't feel like I want to move on from Wacky Wednesday until I get this out. So today we are revisiting Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Oh, no!
I feel a little weird about that, going back to the well so quickly on someone who is a new entry into our fold. But at the same time, on our group on Facebook, Go Home and Tell Your Mother You're Brilliant, there was a poll that was put up, and it was a resounding support for Let's Talk More About Dave Dobbenmeyer.
I believe I texted you about that. It's dictator-level numbers there. Mm-hmm. It's like 99% people were like, yeah, get some more Coach Dave in there.
Despite the horrible white nationalism and being a guy whose son is a sex offender.
I think part of it is our listeners have a self-flagellation and they want to hear more white supremacist talk.
Well, we might touch on that a tiny bit.
Ah, of course.
So, the reason that I had a whole lot more that I wanted to talk about, and it actually works really well to have it be two separate episodes, is in 2016, around the election, Coach Dave had a guest on his show that we are very familiar with.
Oh, no.
Dave Dobbenmeyer here, guys, on what evening is this? This is Thursday evening. Just had a great exclusive opportunity to be able to talk to Larry Nichols, and honored that you would join us here. Normally we would have Larry up on the screen with us, but you know,
hard to get a hold of that guy.
Sick.
So
it took a text message.
There's more to this clip. But I laughed my ass off when he was like, we had an exclusive opportunity. He gives out his phone number on other shows. We just called him out of the blue and he answered.
On the show, he just picked up.
Yeah.
Weird.
It is not an exclusive thing to get an interview with Larry Nichols. He'll talk to any asshole who wants to talk to him.
Yep.
So Coach had Larry Nichols on for an interview in the lead up to the election.
All about rice.
Soft and hard. That doesn't come up.
Larry is really, really sick. In fact, we're going to hear from him here in a
second.
He says he's got tubes coming out. It's just about everything tubes can be coming out of. So just out of decency and a privacy, Larry's just going to be on with this. We'll hear his voice.
Like those hydraulic tubes.
We're going to do a little bit different than our normal hangout. We do our hangouts in the morning. You know, we have a bunch of guys in the screen with us but we're not going to do that today. It's just going to be a straight up interview with Larry Nichols.
Very exciting. So in decency, for Larry, he's not going to have him up on video.
Maybe when he says exclusive interview, he just means I'm the only one doing this interview with him.
No.
I don't have my 15 random-ass guys on Google Hangouts yelling at Larry Nichols, too.
That does make it easier to listen to, for sure.
Right.
I don't think that's it. I think he's thrilled. He thinks this is a get. This is like, I have a big guest on my hands. Larry fucking Nichols is talking to me? I love that so much. I love the idea that anyone hero worships him. It just means they don't know anything. Like, they haven't looked into his history. The fact that after he sued the Clintons back in the 90s, and accused Clinton of having affairs with a bunch of women, all the women were interviewed and they said, absolutely not. Then the Star tabloid picked up the story and he's like, look, I'm sorry.
This isn't me.
And then a little bit after that, he started to get some money and then he started to revamp the timeline of his huckster scam here is it's very clear. And his motivations for hating the Clintons are really clear. Like, because Bill Clinton fired him from the Arkansas Development Finance, office making 642 collect calls on the state's dime, to the Contras in Nicaragua. He got fired from that job, and now he's pissed off at Bill Clinton. And then just tracing his timeline through everything, it's like, all right, you're someone who just commits fraud after fraud. So here's the actual direct quote after the story came out in the Star tabloid. This is because the only reason the story got picked up is because things that Larry put out into the world that everyone in Arkansas ignored. Cause they just knew like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
This is nonsense. But once, Bill became the presumptive Democratic, presidential candidate, the Star was like, oh, here's a juicy story. And they started reporting on it. And Larry said, quote, the media has made a circus out of this thing and now it's gone way too far. When the Star article first came out, several women called asking if I was willing to pay them to say they had an affair with Bill Clinton. This is crazy. One London newspaper is offering $500,000 for a story. So even he's coming out and being like, this is bullshit. There's a lot of forces that I accidentally opened up.
I wanted to lie without consequences.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to make it so when I continue lying, there's going to be some real consequences.
I mean, he's made it perfectly clear that he set out to destroy Bill Clinton and it got away from him.
Yeah.
And then later, he's just like, that was a good scam. I'm going to get back on that.
That was a good run.
And then when he said he was the hitman for the Clintons on a radio show.
That was fun.
And then later he was like, oh, I was on fucking pills. I don't even remember saying that. That is true. This guy is an asshole.
This guy is an asshole.
Also, we should say he's the saddest sack I've ever heard.
I was young and I was cool and I was smart back when I worked with the Clintons. And I helped design, build the system that Bill and Hillary used.
No, you wrote jingles.
Mob, this cabal system.
You were a jingle writer.
Well, see here, the way he presents things on other shows that he does, like Alex's show, is that what he's referring to here is this mob cabal system that he helped set up.
Of course.
The way he describes it elsewhere is the idea of the broken coalition.
Mm.
The idea of going after all Christians or all the majority voters in a state is probably not the best strategy, but if you embrace disenfranchised groups, they add up to a large voting block.
Yeah.
So that is the evil that he says he worked on with the Clintons in terms of strategic goals back then. Now he's on Coach Dave's show and he's calling it a mob cabal system. All he's talking about is listening to minorities.
Yeah, the system that nearly got Stacey Abrams elected until it was stolen from her.
Sure.
Yeah.
I helped build it. Designed most of it. And then here I am today seeing that system being used to destroy the life my grandchildren are going to have in yours. And I've got to stop it. I've got to be the one. You know, nobody's beat the Clinton system. Nobody. Coach, did you know that? Nobody.
Yeah.
Except me.
What?
Nobody.
I got him
Except
in
you? How?
I got him close, but he got off.
Slippery.
But I think it was all one day destined to come down to this. Now I'm afraid I'm just barely hanging on. I'm not going to be here maybe for the election, but I'm trying.
You sad pile of shit. This is so nonsense.
That's pathetic.
Yeah, yeah. I know that I'm the one who can bring down the Clintons. No one's ever beat them but me, but I'm going to die before the election. Because I'm so sick, I'm too sick that you can't even have me on screen.
I do appreciate this differing level of asshole, as opposed to our usual, you know, fake alpha male dominate everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like trying to portray himself as the Danny Glover coming out of retirement for one last saving the fucking union.
Or like, you know, a kid on like fake crutches trying to get some money from you. He's affecting his illness so severely and talking about like, I'll be gone soon. I'm a principled warrior here trying to take down the Clintons because I know their system. I built it.
I can't think of anybody that I identify with more than Ozymandamus.
Ozymandamus.
Look upon my works, ye mighty, and despair. So I have created Bill Clinton and no longer can I control him.
What have I done? Good God. It's an Island of Dr. Moreau situation.
Yeah, yeah.
What has science done?
This is awesome because, yeah, you're right. It is such a different flair for a pathetic liar than blustery bullshit. Even though the, like, I got him impeached and stuff like that, it's like, well, kind of, but he kind of did it to himself too.
What? Come on, Bill. Beep. Bill's such a nice guy. He definitely didn't commit all them crimes.
You know, it is interesting, and I enjoy it a little bit, but it's also like he's really hamming up the, like, I'm going to die soon. I have been brought low. He's even talking about there, like, I was so strong. I thought I was so strong when I was younger, but now I have been brought to be humble. And what he's doing that for on this show is because that's so in line with the Christian ethos.
Mm-hmm.
Like this idea of the mighty being brought low and the Saul on the way to Tarsus kind of moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, the seeing the truth and redeeming yourself is something that, like, especially mainstream Christians nowadays, conservative Christians can't get enough of that shit. That story is catnip for
while
them.
He was working with Clinton, he was actually Gary Nichols. And then he had his coming to Jesus moment, and now he's Larry Nichols. That's the Saul Paul situation all over again.
He might have some aliases. I've not been able to quite track that down, but I do think he has a couple of false identities.
Yeah, he's probably written an op-ed or two under Benjamin Franklin's old fake grandma character?
Mark Twain's was something Snodgrass, right?
William
something Snodgrass?
Yeah.
Who cares? Anyway, in this next clip, Coach is trying to ask Larry a question, but if you listen carefully to the audio, you don't have to listen that carefully. You can tell that Larry is distracted by something else that's going on in his house.
There's a kitten.
But Larry, it would be safe to say that some of these guys go there with the best intentions, do they not?
To Washington.
They become corrupted by...
So what preceded this immediately is Larry telling a story about how he would try and get blackmail on people in Washington.
Of course.
And how he would set them up and then they'd be corrupted and stuff like that. So when Coach is saying, like, some people come in with good intentions, that is the framework of this. And it makes his question all the stupider.
And then they become corrupted by the system or get caught in compromising situations.
I'm the reason Washington is a lie.
And then they'll catch one or two of them, and then it'll scare everybody else out, and then they'll fall in line.
That's right.
So, Larry, as we look at it right now, then, and we look at all this stuff that's coming out, how do you see this playing out? Are they really?
There's a marching band going through my house.
Digging up stuff on the Clintons. Are they really going to use it? Does it come down, Larry, to whether she's elected or not?
Sorry, I had to take my dog out.
That's great. Exclusive interview.
I call him Fido Clinton.
I mean, that's great. It's professional. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome.
No, oh, man. Is he?
It shows a rank disrespect for Coach Dave.
Oh, well.
Not giving a fuck about his show.
You know, it's crazy. He was actually very respectful to us.
He gave us
just a fine old interview.
Yeah.
He lied directly to our faces the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Through his fucking
Some would
teeth.
Say that's not respectful, but yeah. I don't take it personally.
For him? Yeah. What else could he do? What,
inveterate
would he
liar?
Tell us the truth?
Yeah.
Come on.
At least he didn't get up to take his dog out noisily on our show. We appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. There's one good thing about you.
So one of Larry's big points, because he's here right before the election, is that the fraud is going to happen.
Of course.
And one of the big things he wants you to do is protect your ballot. So if you go into a place, you need a paper ballot. If they don't give you a paper ballot, you call the police. You make a big scene out of it.
Man, I think people should have done that in North Carolina this year, I suppose.
Maybe the advice goes both ways.
Could be more right-wing.
He has other advice that he wants to give that is deeply, deeply problematic. And I think what he's advocating for is probably a crime.
Explain to people how that happens. How do people vote multiple times, Larry? Do they have names on a roster? Do they have records of people who died? Do they have records of people who are?
Do they have records of people
vote?
Who
How does
died?
That system work, Larry?
Well, what we used to do, and I will describe it from firsthand experience, what we did. What happens is they go in and come in a bus. We used to get school buses. Literally, there's a bus company in Conway. And we would get school buses. We'd go to Northeast Arkansas, to a very impoverished black part of the state. Poor people. We would load them up, put them on the bus, and we would take them, just like they're going to do this time, take them to the inner city precincts. Now, they're not going to your precinct, Coach, out in rural wherever.
Yeah, for sure.
They're going inner city precincts.
So that clip doesn't necessarily demonstrate what would be described as, criminal, necessarily.
Yes.
But what he's talking about is he's perpetuating an idea that this targeting of all the, all this voter fraud business is happening within these black precincts.
I feel like all he said right there is we were helping people vote.
Well, no, that's the real world version of what this conspiracy is about.
Uh-huh.
And Larry actually later says that, like, this time the Clintons aren't going to be able to pull it off with the buses, probably not even vans because they're too obvious. So they'll have to use cars. Like, you're going to take three people to the polls. Like, that only way that makes sense is if you really believe in voting integrity and you're carpooling people.
Yeah,
like,
if you're trying
to swing the vote, that's not. That is going to be cost prohibitive. You would have to have fleets of cars out there. It would have to be one of the, you'd have to take over Uber.
I was about to say, it's just a fleet of Uber pools. That's fine.
And you'd have to be doing it in a conspiracy in order to make a dent in most of the places where it would matter.
Yeah, you would just have to have everybody get the app.
This is crazy nonsense. Unless what he's trying to do is demonize the idea of helping people who don't have access to getting to the polls get to the polls.
Of course.
And what he's doing is trying to present the idea that it doesn't happen where you are, Coach. Not in your white enclave in Ohio. It's happening in these black places. Now, the reason that I said that I think what he's talking about is criminal is because this part of it was the descriptive part. He's describing what he thinks the problem is. And now here's his solution.
So, now you take nationwide Look at Baltimore. Look at Philadelphia. Look at all these huge cities.
Look Why'd at you choose
the number
those?
Of votes in these precincts.
And it's like there's more than in the rural areas.
Significant fraud. Now, how do you catch it?
Yeah, good question. Good answer.
Well, what you do to catch it is simple. We need veterans groups.
Oh,
veterans
no.
Groups
no.
To get together, because I don't recommend, Coach, you or anybody going in by yourself to an inner city precinct.
Why not?
Predominantly black.
I really don't understand
that
at all.
I don't recommend you going in there by yourself.
Right.
You're liable to get a knot on your head.
I got some guts. I got some guts later, but I also got some brains.
All right. Now, but
people are people, dude.
These.
Do you think they're murdering people at voting booths?
They can go into the inner city precinct with, say, you know, let's say 10 people. Go in there with 10 people.
Well, that'll swing an election.
They'll be safe with their numbers. And then you just watch. It'll happen right in front of you. They don't hide it. You'll see them going in, coming out, going in, coming out. When you see it, take a picture of it. The minute you take a picture of it, call the police. Tell the police what you just witnessed. They won't come. They will not come. But take a picture anyway. And then you let okay. me know on my website, LarryNichols.info. We've got a place right there, Coach, for people to log in their experience with voter fraud.
As of December 2018,
how's it going?
Still no evidence on LarryNichols.info of concrete voter fraud.
I don't think it even makes sense to his plan. Doesn't even make sense, right?
It does if you consider it to be voter intimidation.
Right. I mean, I just mean
he's
more like,
advocating for a bunch of people intimidating at inner city polls.
Oh, of course, of course. No, that I understand.
Who does he think is going to go?
But that doesn't.
It's going to be people who hear this message of, hey, if you go alone to an inner city black precinct, you'll probably get assaulted and maybe murdered. So you go with a group of people. Now you feel safe. You're going to be suspicious of everything. You're going to be thinking it's the jungle.
Right.
Like Coach thinks Harlem is.
Right.
It's going to be this idea of like, you go in there, you're white, you are in danger. So you go in with your team, and you go in there, you're not going to be observing things. What you're going to be doing is being skeptical of everybody who's there. And you're probably going to be the type of people who think that all non-white people look the same. And so you're probably going to take pictures of a bunch of people.
Right.
All you end up doing is intimidating people away from the polls.
I mean more like for him to say that plan makes sense because he wants people to go to inner cities.
Yes.
In order to intimidate voters.
Yeah.
But if I'm committing voter fraud, we already won the cities, man. The cities are Democrats because we won. We all realize that we're in it together. We're cities. I would take, inner city people out to rural districts in order to make sure that we win those districts.
No.
That's how voter fraud works.
You misunderstand. He's advocating a position of how the right can take back the inner cities.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But that doesn't make sense for us. If I'm committing voter fraud.
If you're working with Larry.
No, if I'm working against Larry. Larry's okay. working to stop me.
Right.
And my plan is to commit voter fraud to win the election.
Right.
I don't need the cities.
No, because those are the places you can ram the totals up really high because people like Larry and Coach are too afraid to come around and find the clear evidence.
But that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
that makes no sense.
No, this is based on a deeply racist worldview.
That's just racism.
And the strategy that's being advocated for only serves to intimidate people away from practicing their right to vote.
Of course.
And so, I mean, that is where Larry is coming from. He can dress it up in all sorts of like, I know the Clintons and they do these tricks and I know the only way to stop those tricks is a group of 10 dudes hanging around for no reason at the polls, harassing people, just being a nuisance. That's the only answer to this pickle that we find ourselves in. The truth is he's just advocating the people to disenfranchise minorities.
And even then,
it's crazy how overt that is.
If his angle is that they're coming in and out of the polls and then going back in and out of the polls, you can't take a picture of that. You have to take a video of that. Otherwise, you're just taking pictures of people walking out of the polls.
Right. It would be tough. And that's probably why he hasn't gotten to the bottom of this mystery at this point. Also, we should say
that, and it doesn't happen. In-person and voter fraud is almost non-existent.
And also, I know at this point in the episode, we're a good about half hour in. People are clamoring. I know Lucy is out there screaming into the ether, call Larry Nichols.
We did. We just did. We talked to Larry Nichols, and he is...
He does not want to talk to us.
No, right now. No, he is...
Right now does not want to talk to
us. He's experiencing some sickness problems.
Sure he is.
As we speak right now. However, it will not be hard to get him to come back on the show.
I'm certain. The only reason that it is a much easier time and why I'm really into the idea of talking to him is because we're talking about him.
Yeah.
And then also, right now, we're recording this. It's 4:30 in the afternoon. Whereas generally, a lot of the time we'll be recording and it's the evening.
Yeah.
And, you know, Grandpa Nichols got to be in bed, I assume.
I feel bad
calling him at like 9.
Oh, yeah. We can't do that. I was just like... I feel like the only problem that we had was it didn't, because I didn't know we were talking about Larry Nichols today.
Right.
I should have been, part of the Wacky Wednesday show is I don't know what we're going to do. It would have been great if we had called him like yesterday or 2 days ago and seen if he wanted to come on the show today. Mm-hmm. But it was a spur of the moment. Holy shit, there's Larry Nichols' voice. I want to hear more of Larry Nichols' voice, but in real time.
I predict that he won't talk to us again, but we'll try. We'll see. I'd like to talk to him again because it's been a long time since we talked to him. And the last time we talked to him, we brought up that he was trying to blackmail Congress and Robert Mueller.
It's going well.
It's going great.
It's going well.
And I want to talk to him about what his plans are for to further this blackmail. I really want to know.
How are we going
to
blackmail Congress?
And further, I want to know, did he try? Like,
did he send an email out of the blue?
Did he follow through with all that dirt that he has on everybody? Because he was talking a big game on Alex's show.
He was talking a big game on our show.
I want to find out about that. I want to find out about... I don't really have many other questions for him, honestly.
How you doing?
I find his life incredibly boring. I think he is a garden variety con man. He just took advantage of a situation. But at the same time, good on him. He never gives up. We're in the weeds here. Let's get back on track.
All right.
Larry wants to express again that you need to verify your damn vote. And then Coach says something we're very familiar with.
Do not walk away from your voting machine without verification that your vote was logged the way you voted.
That's actually a good advice.
Coach, for everybody to do that, they can't steal your vote with machines that are wired up to where every third time
you don't understand
Trump
computers.
Goes to Clinton.
Amen. Which we know Soros owns a lot of these things, and so you know they call conspiracy theories, Larry. But we know, in fact, it's going on.
That's wild. Wild.
He keeps
bringing up Soros.
Just find a different billionaire for a while.
Yeah.
Like, there's that billionaire who's going to try and run for president who's running the impeach Trump campaign. He sucks.
Sure.
Fucking go after him for a while.
Well, I don't know who that is.
Just take a break from Soros. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm. Popularize it. Make it popular.
Sure.
Let's go after whatever the fuck is who's running those ads about impeach Trump. He sucks.
I mean,
I'm for impeaching Trump, but that guy sucks.
It's a strategy that's very important that you unify focus on one person.
Right. Especially if it is somebody who is a Hungarian-born Jew.
Mm-hmm. Man, it's weird. It's so weird that it's just so consistent.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy that it travels this brain worm just goes through these different communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm sure if I listen to tons of her boring political episodes, I'm sure Carrie talks about Soros too.
100%.
She may have in episodes that we've covered and I've just forgotten.
Probably.
But I mean, Jim Baker's talked about Soros. Mm-hmm. You got Coach. He's talking about Soros. Alex is talking about Soros. Larry Nichols hates Soros. It's weird. It seems such like a unifying piece of this fabric that getting to the bottom of where all that comes from is so important, because when you do, you start to understand where the rhetoric that trickles down to all of these places comes from. Because it has to come from a source. It can't come, like, I bet Coach got that from Alex.
Right.
So I don't think that he has some sort of primary, like, he doesn't get to jump up
he
a level
have
in the trickle
sources.
Down.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
He watches Alex's show. That's why he admires Larry, and that's why he thinks Soros is behind everything.
Right. Cause there's really no other way that Coach Dave could know Larry Nichols.
I can't imagine.
Right? Like, what is, oh, when I was growing up in the 90s, I totally knew about Larry Nichols. What?
I mean, it's possible, but I think at that point, you'd have to assume he would have made contact with him before.
You would hope.
You know, because if he knew about him from the actual Clinton time, it's not like Larry shied away from the spotlight.
It's not like he's hard to get in touch with.
No, actually, interestingly,
his number is still the same.
In 1994, he started this like campaign. Like, so in 90, he got fired from the Arkansas Development Finance Agency.
No idea why.
And then in 92, when Bill was running for office, is when the Star article came out, and he was like, fuck, this has gotten away from me.
Yeah.
But then by 1994, he started to embrace it all. And he started to give speeches at patriot communities. For instance, he gave a speech at a rally for a group called Boulder Patriots. And the following comes from a transcript of his speech. Quote, I want to tell everyone in Colorado, in Arkansas, I'm hated. My family is embarrassed. My wife on a given day hates me. But I made a deal with Bill Clinton. In 1994, we're going to meet at high noon and one of us is getting out of town. Parenthetically, at this point, Nichols draws a silver-plated semi-automatic handgun from his hip and waves it in the air before placing it on the podium. Okay. Several voices from the audience are heard cheering, shoot the bastard.
Wow.
So that was what he was up to in 94. He was out making the rounds in all these in these places. So the concept that Coach would have been aware of him from then wouldn't, like, there's no way that he would have never talked to him or tried to get in touch with him before 2016. He absolutely knows him from Alex. So my point in that is that these worlds that all have Soros as the big boogeyman, it has to come from somewhere. And when we see this flow chart, one of the interesting things about Coach bringing it up is that it gives us a layer below Alex.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the influence that Alex has wielded on the world being expressed by Coach.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Coach step above that Alex. You understand where Alex gets it all from. It starts to help where all the other people got it from.
Right. The confusion I have, though, is that it spread pretty much the same way that your garden variety internet meme would spread. You know, there's
not true.
Oh, well, I mean, yes, it is based
because
on
years and years before.
Right.
Bill O'Reilly was talking about him and then just stopped because it didn't work out all that well for him.
Right.
So like, it's not like the Soros attempt hadn't been made before.
Right.
It didn't work the same way as an internet meme. Or maybe it did, but it would be like a meme that someone tried to launch and then it didn't work. So they waited a few years and then tried it again.
Yeah.
So maybe I don't know of any memes that work that way. But it's possible. I mean, it's like a virus becoming antibiotic resistant or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fascinating that it won't go away. That's the thing that confuses me.
Well, much the same with like Bill actually cheating, like reinforcing the lies that, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, people still believe Bill killed Vince Foster.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
You know, there are enough. There are enough true things, if you deprive them of context, about Soros's life that lead you to believe that he's an evil man.
Mm-hmm.
That people, if they just don't try and do the time, put in the work to figure out what's truth and what's fiction,
right?
There's enough semblances of reality behind the idea that, oh, hey, Hungary does want him out.
Yeah.
Now, the reason for that is because Hungary is run by Viktor Orbán.
An evil dictator. Yeah.
And that's the he's a democratizing force, and that is a threat to an authoritarian leader, ergo, they want him out.
Right. And there are enough authoritarian leaders working in concert with enough dedicated propaganda groups working to reinforce this meme over and over again.
Right.
So, yeah, I can see that. Maybe one of the ways that we could force memes to stick around as opposed to disappear organically is if we hired people to never endingly send out these memes. I suppose.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So in this next clip, well, it's actually appropriate because we were talking about how, obviously Coach is getting a lot of this stuff from Alex. And this next clip, I think, even further demonstrates that.
Larry, one of the most salacious things that's come out here in the last few days, we understand there's an uprising. At least they say there's a governmental, an undercover government uprising in the FBI and other places like that, that this recent stuff came about because of Anthony Weiner and the investigation by the NYPD, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, 2016 was
Larry,
so weird.
One of the things that's buried deep down in the middle of this thing is the idea of this Lolita Express. We know Bill's been promiscuous throughout his whole life. Everybody understands that. But they're making accusations now, or at least I'm hearing them, Larry, as rumors at this point, about the possibility that Hillary might be somehow involved with this pedophilia that's going on. Larry, from your perspective, is this something that Hillary would be involved in as well?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she fucks nine-year-olds.
Good,
who cares?
Good stuff. Good stuff, Larry. Good.
I do like Larry's commitment to letting you say whatever conspiratorial dumb shit you want to say, and then him just being like, for sure, man, you keep on it.
I will tell you.
Loving it.
On that tip, there's a really interesting point where Larry refutes a conspiracy about the Clintons
really?
Coming up later. That, like,
no shit.
It almost blew my mind.
All
considering
right.
it is a conspiracy that I positive he had a part in putting out to the world.
Yeah.
And absolutely Alex Jones and Roger Stone have perpetuated so hard. It's crazy. But we'll get to that here in a little bit. Before that, so he said that Hillary was a part of this pedophilia stuff, Bill Clinton being on the Lolita Express, Jeffrey Epstein's plane, all this stuff that doesn't take into account that Donald Trump is good friends with Jeffrey Epstein was on the plane.
Hey, we don't need to think about the fact that Donald Trump also likes him yet.
Commented in like, hey, Jeffrey Epstein's fun to hang out
likes
with.
Likes him young.
Likes his women young.
Likes him too
Wink.
Young.
So whatever. They talk about that for a little bit, and then Larry tells his story, his trademark story, about how Hillary would go to witch churches.
I love the witch churches stories.
Churches.
Witches.
He talks about Linda Bloodworth Thomas.
Oh, gotta get her in there.
But the way he tells the story is almost exactly the same as he's told it in the past. And we've listened to it before, so I felt like it wasn't worth us rehearing him tell someone else the same story. So just know that this clip starts right after he's talking about how she went to witch churches.
Ooh, love witch churches.
So finally, I said, look, we know the people at Channel 11, which is a local TV network, one of the three.
Witch is a local.
And I said, why don't you always go to church on Sunday at the Methodist church. I'm going to set up a camera crew. And we're going to do just an impromptu, just looks like it accidentally happened, you coming out of the Methodist church.
It's an improv
and you
everywhere.
You come
speech.
Out, and I want you to really pour on the dog. I mean, I want you to talk about your faith in Jesus, et cetera, et cetera. She turned away from me. I remember it like it was yesterday. I've told the stories many times. I know people that hear me very much probably get tired of it, but it's that significant. She turned away from me with her back to me, and then she turned her head to the left. And she said, you know, I can't do that. And then she turned her head back and she walked away from me. Now, what does that mean?
Holy water.
I know you're a spiritual man.
I am.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Coach Dave.
That story is the stupidest shit I've ever heard in my life. The idea of a politician, you're like, hey, we're going to do this staged thing where, you know, you don't want people to know that you're a fucking witch. So you go to church and we're going to set up the news crews there and you talk about loving Jesus. You know, I can't do that.
Why not? Oh, you know, I just don't have
time. I'm too into witch stuff.
It's busy. Are you sure it's not because you're a witch?
Larry, no.
All right, you got me.
No,
I'm Hillary Clinton,
no,
witch.
No, fuck that. In that conversation that he's clearly making up, the two of them both know that she's a witch. All the information is wide open on the table. He knows that she knows that he knows everything. He's like, I know you're a witch, but we need good PR here. That's the presentation that he's making. And so this idea that she, an ambitious, driven politician who wants to eventually become president while her husband, who used to be the president, will take over the UN and they'll become the most powerful couple in the world.
In history.
Which somehow has to do with Obama creating a caliphate in America.
How could it not?
And the FEMA provisional government. I'm not entirely sure how all that relates, but that's Larry's worldview. So she's this ambitious politician at that point. just, you know, nascent stage politician who needs all the good press she can get. Her Guy Friday comes in and he is like, I'll tell you what you need to do is a very manufactured and clearly duplicitous speech about your faith that all politicians do. I cannot do that.
Why not?
I love Satan too much.
Yeah, you can just ask. I mean, if Satan's working so hard to get you to run the world as the Antichrist.
Also, let's.
He would give you the day off, man.
Let's fucking pump the brakes. I don't have the fucking time to go through every single speech Hillary Clinton has ever made, but I'm positive
none of them
she's talked about God.
Never been to the church.
I'm positive.
Have you ever seen her at a church?
Yeah, I'm sure I have. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, plenty of times. A bunch of times.
Oh, when George H.W. Bush got his funeral, she was at a fucking church.
I don't think she was there.
No. Fake news.
She was too busy witching.
So Larry is trying to present this idea that she's a demon,
witch.
I guess. I'm not entirely sure.
Sure.
So he ends that clip by saying, Coach, you're a religious man. What does this mean? And here's a little bit of analysis of what that could mean.
When I first met her, she was filthy, dirty, had greasy hair. You've heard me talk about it.
That doesn't sound like
around
her
neck,
at
she
all.
She had in hairy legs, hairy hair on under her arms, wearing a muumuu and flip-flops at a formal meet and greet with some rich farmers from Northeast Arkansas. But around her neck, she had a chain, like a dog tag chain, and there was a card on it like a press pass, but it said, proud member of the Communist Party.
Absolutely not. Already your story is complete bullshit.
So if I understand, Hillary Clinton, leader of the Young Republicans.
A Goldwater gal. Yeah.
Her.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. All
right. Right.
I buy the story 100%.
Had a chain.
100%
at a meeting when she's married to Bill at this point, so it's post-law school.
I don't need any more evidence.
So she shows up. Hairy armpits.
Oh, yeah.
Stinking, wearing a burlap sack at this official meeting with financiers and all these respectable people with a fucking chain around her neck that says card carrying member of the Communist Party.
Yep.
You gotta believe me.
Gotta believe
this
it.
This is what happened. I was there for it.
Listen.
Go fuck off.
What was it Larry Nichols said to us? He was like, you believe what you wanna believe.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what I say.
This is what liars say.
Yep.
But also, like, I don't necessarily not believe that Hillary might have had some communist-ish leanings when she was in college and stuff like that. I'm willing to believe that. I don't think that matters. You know,
I thought she was the leader of the Young Republicans in college.
She was a Goldwater gal
when
she was younger, is
right?
What she always likes to talk about. Goldwater Republicans.
I would say she would have to have been in her early 20s to mid 30s before she's jumping into the let's go all natural French style grooming habits.
But here's what I'm saying. I agree. But I'm willing to accept the possibility that she presented a certain way and had a certain ideology that might not have matched up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Whatever. I'm willing to believe
that.
Sure. I am not willing to believe what Larry is selling here. I'm not willing to believe in any way. Because if I have to believe that, then the only thing I can believe is that Hillary Clinton, when she was younger and Larry Nichols knew her, was the fiercest troll of all time. Like, she was going to this meeting with financiers with the tag that says member of the Communist Party, like, just trying to fuck with them or something. Like, that's what I'd have to believe. She's a fucking edgelord from way back.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that.
And she's been making shit tons of money off of speeches to these rich assholes. Forever!
Well, that's because Larry convinced her to shave those damn legs.
Oh,
baby.
That actually does make sense.
So, yeah, I don't believe any of this. I don't believe any of this.
No.
Yeah, but
I truly don't believe Hillary Clinton has ever looked like that in her entire life.
I'm willing to believe it possibly, but that might just be based on the pictures I've seen of Bill with a huge beard.
Not even on Halloween do I think that she looked like that.
Bill Clinton used to have a giant beard, baby.
Yeah, but he's Bill fucking Clinton. He did
William
all kinds
Jefferson
of weird,
fucking Clinton.
He did all kinds of fucking weird shit. Hillary is Hillary, man. I feel like since Hillary was 9 years old, she was like, I am going to run this fucking world.
Yeah, but she probably had some wild oats in her life. She's still a human. Anyway, Larry has more to say about this period of time where she was absolutely not wearing a sign that said card-carrying member of the Communist Party to a fucking business lunch.
How big is this sign?
Huge.
Okay.
She smelled. And I just thought she smelled because of hygiene.
Sure.
But for years after that, even when we got her cleaned up.
How did you do that?
Hillary.
With a hose in the back?
Smell. It's a smell. It's a... It's kind of like rotten meat or rotten...
She's a zombie now.
Awful odor. And even today, as recent as maybe a couple, 3 months ago, people that went to one of her, you know, rallies where she's talking and ended up getting close to the rope line or whatever, people that know nothing of what I'm telling you said, God, boy, I tell you, it was terrible. Somebody in her group smelled horrible. It was just odor. It's her. Now, what is that?
A lie?
Well, I have my opinion of what it is.
All right, what is it?
Well,
in your opinion.
In my opinion, Musk? I believe that she's demon possessed. You know, scripture talks about the demons have an odor, give off an odor.
Larry's thrilled with that answer.
Oh yeah.
I mean, this is the same thing. Like Alex, this is just Alex stuff over again now.
She smells like sulfur.
Yeah. And Obama, two flies land on them because they're attracted to. Yeah, this is all just that bullshit. What he's saying here is just utter bullshit. It's just crazy nonsense. Yeah. And in the same way that Larry is presenting himself at the beginning of this episode as someone who was so sure of himself and brought low because it appeals to the Christian mindset. He knows what show he's on.
Of course.
And he's trying to appeal to that again. Like, I don't know what that smell is. It's a leading question. It's a leading statement. He's trying to get Coach to say the demon thing so he doesn't have to. Anyway, this next clip. Larry Nichols says something about the Clintons that I find unacceptable. And not because he's trying to malign the Clintons or anything like that, but just because this is one of the stupider things I've ever heard in my life. Mm. And it betrays that he's just making shit up. Because there's no way that either of them said the thing that he's going to report that they said.
It's insane that we're so immunized to this, that the idea of two men agreeing that Hillary Clinton smells bad because she's a demon is not one of the dumber things that we've ever heard in our life. This is just, oh yeah, of course she smells bad because she's a demon. That's what Jordan and Dan talk about all the time.
That's sort of just like blasé.
Fine.
This one is actually interesting to me. So okay. Here we go.
You know, Larry.
And then I'm going to tell you another thing. Bill Clinton told me once because it got so bad.
I want to hear this.
I'm caught in between the two. All right. Here you got Bill just running wild, going crazy. Here you got Hillary driving this crazy. I'm in between.
Driving this crazy?
A couple times I asked Bill, said, Bill, why don't y'all get divorced? You don't love each other. You don't want anything to do with each other. And look at them now. They don't even live together. Right? They don't live together. He'd tell me over and over and over, we will never get a divorce. And I'd say, my God, why not, Bill? He said, well, that way we can never be forced to testify against each other in court.
Nice!
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's the truth.
That's the truth.
Hillary told me the same thing.
Oh, so both of them told you that. I want to talk to you about this real quick, Jordan.
How many times is it? All right, let's hear this.
The rule that holds that spouses cannot be made to testify against each other comes down to what's known as marital or spousal privilege.
Uh-huh.
In a weird piece of puritanical American history, this rule was not established based on any guideline of law, but because, quote, the sanctity of marriage should be fostered as a matter of social policy.
I was going to say, that is a weird rule, isn't it?
It's only to make sure that spouses don't have to fight.
It's only to make sure that women aren't allowed to testify against their husbands.
Well, not anymore, because there are so many exemptions to that. So, like, if it's an instance of, like, a crime against a spouse, that privilege is gone.
No, I just
but it used to exist in that.
That's exactly why it was a thing.
But the public facing version of it was, we want to, you know, our social fabric, it depends on marital harmony, so we shouldn't make spouses fight with each other.
Sacrosanct.
Exactly. Regardless of the reason it was established, as it stands now, things that are communicated between couples are generally seen by the law as being intrinsically confidential, and thus are considered privileged information. This rule doesn't apply to anything that was said, quote, in the presence of or likely to be overheard by third parties. So unless the two of them, Bill and Hillary Clinton, cooked up this conspiracy that they're putting forth themselves, most of the relevant information is not confidential. This is a third party who they're plotting with. Also, this is stupid. The rule of spousal privilege does apply to federal crimes, but almost every state deals with the rules differently. Colorado does not allow it for cases involving first degree, second degree, or third degree felonies. So in various state crimes, you still would be possibly compelled to,
or held in contempt, mm-hmm. were you not to.
Also, Larry is even stupider than it seems. Again, this is from the, Fordham Law Review. Quote, in 1983, the Seventh Circuit held that privilege cannot be claimed by a witness who is alleging to have participated in the crime with which his or her spouse is charged and about which the witness is summoned to testify. There's a big exemption to the rule of marital privilege that is known as the crime fraud exception, which holds that, quote, the marital testimony rule does not apply when two spouses are conspiring in a future or ongoing crime. One spouse or the other may be compelled to testify in order to protect the safety of the public. I would say that if anything Larry Nichols is saying is true, then the Clintons most certainly are conspiring in a future or ongoing crime, and thus their claim of marital privilege is moot.
Do you mean conspiring to dominate the world might be considered a crime?
You might think that. Yeah. So,
No. We can't testify against each other, even though, of course, you have proven that we are trying to run the entire world.
The very idea of what Larry is saying is bullshit. It's such nonsense. Like, the idea that they stay together so they can't be compelled to testify against each other when the law is very clear that if you're conspiring together, you can. I suspect that Larry just recently binged Arrested Development, and that's where he's coming up with this dumb shit. Because that's a central point of the plot of Arrested Development.
Yeah, that sounds
right. And the timeline of when he did this interview might be, I'm late to the party on Arrested Development.
Yeah, no kidding.
This show's pretty good. Hillary Clinton has a degree from Yale Law School and was published in the Harvard Law Review. Bill Clinton has a degree from Yale Law School and studied at Oxford as a Rhodes Scholar. Larry Nichols got fired from an advertising job for making collect calls to the Contras in Nicaragua. I can't confirm that Larry Nichols even went to college before getting fired by the Arkansas Development Finance Authority for making 642 calls on behalf of the fucking Contras. My point is that I'm going to trust an understanding of the law. I'm going to err on the side of the Clintons knowing what the law is than this possible high school graduate who wrote jingles and then got fired for being involved in Iran-Contra.
That is why the Clintons are so smart.
So sneaky.
Because they know you will give them the benefit of the doubt over Larry Nichols. Larry Nichols is the fall guy, Dan.
Right. Sure he is. Sure he is.
That's crazy stupid. I do think that the Clintons have one of the more fascinating relationships in recent history.
Sure.
That is fascinating. It has nothing to do with not being able to testify against each other.
No. I think there'd probably be a real interesting story to tell here years down the line. I mean, Hillary was ostensibly going to be president less than 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, like, any kind of...
Any reasonable definition, she was going to be president 2 years
ago. And the popular vote.
All the rules of...
Any sort of, like, real in-depth understanding of what their relationship is like. I do think it would be an interesting story, but there's no way we're going to get that for years.
Absolutely not.
We're just going to get Larry Nichols saying bullshit.
And you and I speculating is not going to be the answer.
We're just going to get Larry Nichols saying dumb
shit. It is fun to say dumb shit about it, though.
Yeah. So I told you earlier that Larry Nichols is going to say that one conspiracy about the Clintons is not true. And this is so interesting to me because Coach starts basically like a lightning round kind of thing. I was like, tell me about this. And so this is crazy.
You see a lot of stuff on the internet, and the joke goes around, I saw it on the internet, it's got to be true. I'm talking about the two things that have really been confusing to me. Number one, the whole Danny Williams thing. I'm sure you know about Danny Williams.
I know.
Not true? Williams, that's not Bill's kid.
No.
So Danny Williams is the
supposed
love child.
We did talk about that one. Yeah, something that
Alex and Roger have been very pushing of.
On
and I'm almost certain I can't prove it definitively, but I'm almost certain that Larry Nichols had some role in perpetuating this.
And probably creating that lie.
I mean, it's possible. Creating it or fostering it. I seem to recall him talking about it on Alex's show, but I can't find... I have way too many fucking clips in my archive to go through and like find the specific one. But I have a vague memory of him saying that it is true.
Right.
So now it's not true.
Danny Williams. I would never say that even when I was on a shit ton of pills.
But I have a further theory about this, and it's not about Larry saying, hey, this one isn't true as a means of being fair to the Clintons or anything like that. I think it serves to bolster what he's about to say.
Okay. Second one, Larry, heard for a number of years, seen it all over the internet, that Webb Hubble was Chelsea's dad.
That is true. I'm the one that put that out.
That is true.
That is true, 100%.
So there's a conspiracy that goes around that Webster Hubble, who's you know, someone in the Clinton orbit, he is actually Chelsea's dad. And he had an affair and was dalliances with Hillary.
Toss it in there.
I don't care. It doesn't mean anything to me. I don't think it has any bearing on anything that matters. But here's what I'm saying. He's shooting down the Danny Williams thing and saying that, yes, Webster Hubble is Chelsea's dad, because the bigger point that he wants to make is that Bill is impotent.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's the further point that he wants to make.
That's Larry Nichols' point.
He goes on to talk about, like, hey, I was sitting around with Bill, and I'm asking him, hey, man, why are you banging all these chicks? Aren't you worried they're going to get pregnant? And he's like, nah, I shoot blanks. So he's trying to create this, like, diminishing of Bill's masculinity by taking away his reproductive capability. That is, like, I know that to us that doesn't matter, but in that world it does.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, I don't necessarily think that is, I mean, yes, that is important for, taking down his masculinity for some reason.
Which matters
whatever.
To these people.
Right, but I also think that that's probably the only way for so many of these people to kind of create this reasonable expectation of Bill Clinton fucked everyone and yet has no love children. That seems crazy. So the only explanation is he shoots blanks.
What appears to be reasonable vis-a-vis Larry saying that Danny Williams isn't his love child.
Right.
Only it's not reasonable because it is just to bolster the idea that Bill can't, make come right.
Which I don't want to. What? did you just say make come right?
Yeah. You can't.
That's a weird turn of phrase.
I feel like it perfectly describes what Larry is accusing him of.
I get it. That's just a weird. I've never heard that before. I like it. I think that's a great way.
I'm a poet. So whatever Larry is putting out there, like he is refuting that in service of something he's more interested in.
Yeah.
But he's
emasculating. Yes.
But he does refute another point here that is a huge problem for Alex.
Mm-hmm.
This next clip, what Larry Nichols says is a direct contradiction of Alex Jones's worldview entirely.
Larry, we got about 5 minutes left here. Is there a shadow government, Larry? I mean, we hear about that and people make fun of it and say, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. You got a tinfoil hat, all that kind of stuff. Are there men behind the curtains that are really pulling all the strings, Larry?
No.
No?
Not with the Clintons. No. No. What? Now, there are men behind the curtains that are financing the Clintons.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
But no, not since the Stevens, brothers died, no one has ever been in control of Bill and Hillary, because Hillary will not allow it. She has too much power.
So,
like that angle for him to deny it, though.
Well, of course, because the only world that he actually knows anything about is back in Arkansas.
When he was ostensibly hired and facilitated his super secret agent career by the Stevens brothers.
I think it's entirely possible, I'm not saying this is the case, but I think it's possible that Jack and Whit Stevens, as super rich businessmen in Arkansas, might have had some dirty dealings. It's possible.
No, not might have. Almost certainly did.
And might have paid Larry Nichols to be sort of man on the ground in some capacity.
Sure.
In the like making and funneling these phone calls in order to facilitate communication between Nicaragua and U.S. representatives.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
I think that's entirely possible. And so from that standpoint, I do see like Larry having this image of mafia activity in Arkansas that is only surrounding Jack and Whit Stevens, because those are the only context, those are the only firm references he has,
right.
Which would make sense that once Hillary and Bill get outside of that world, he now doesn't know anything about what's going on with it. So of course he's like, nah, they're the big players.
Yeah.
They've now graduated.
I do find
it's a lack of imagination.
I do find the one thing, the one concrete thing that I have learned from this podcast is anytime two brothers are rich together, shady shit is going down.
Up to no good.
Yeah, we've got Candyman, we've got Koch brothers, we got the Stevens brothers. How many more brothers do we have?
Well, the Whispers, those twins.
The Whispers, absolutely.
They're great.
Tegan and Sarah, however, doing fine.
Sure. So look, I don't know how to slice this other than to say, like, it's really fucked up that Larry is coming on the show and saying there's no shadow government, nothing. That implies that there's no globalists. Like, all of this stuff, like, all of the idea of Alex's nefarious, spider web of weirdos isn't true. Like, Larry doesn't believe that shit that Alex says on his show.
Yeah.
He thinks that there is nobody above the Clintons.
Of course.
Now, maybe for Obama, he had other people above him. Maybe. I don't know. He doesn't say that, but maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's the case. But, nah, not with the Clintons. The Clintons at the top.
I do appreciate Coach Dave treating the single most important question I think that you can imagine, which is there a shadow government?
That's big.
As, like, all right, we got a few minutes left. Let's toss this in there. Is there a shadow government? No? All right, we're moving on.
Hey, Larry, lightning round here.
Yeah. Shadow government that's running the entire world trying to destroy everybody? No?
Nah.
All right, well, we're going to cut to break then.
So Larry's, at this point, spoken his piece. He's told his backstory about the Arkansas days. He's said that Hillary is a witch and smells weird. He's lied about the idea of spousal privilege. Not lied, he's just dumb. He doesn't even know.
Yeah, of course.
He's lying about Bill and Hillary, saying that's why they're still married.
Of course.
But at the end of the episode, he says something real interesting.
No, I wish you would have me back on tomorrow and give me 1 hour to tell you America 2017 under Hillary. I assure you, it will scare you to your knees, number one. Number two, will be my opinion that I will substantiate it and support it with evidence and facts to prove that it's not just wild thinking.
Not true.
But you need to think about, your audience needs to really think long and hard about what America's going to become in the next 3 years.
A disaster.
Now, how do I know about it? Because I designed the 1986 plan.
You know how it works.
I know. By
Coach
the way,
Dave.
Coach, before we go, I wish you, if it would be okay for me to ask people if they want to help me.
Yeah!
Folks, Larry told me this.
Don't do it if it's going to make people not believe what
they
I say.
Go to LarryNichols.info. LarryNichols.info. Is that where they go, Larry?
Well, they can go there if they want to use a credit card. But if they want to help with PayPal, please just go to nicholslive@aol.com.
That is a crazy ad pivot.
The craziest part is the AOL.com.
That is pretty crazy. I'm at Hotmail. That is pretty fun.
I still use dial-up.
What's fun about that most to me, I believe, is that what you see there is a classic Jonesian ad pivot.
Yeah.
But what
super Jonesian.
But there's an added layer to it that is the ad pivot starts with, have me back on tomorrow and I'll tell you all of this future information because I know what's going to happen when Hillary ends up winning. I'm going to tell you this. It's going to blow your mind and bring you to your knees. Can I ask for money?
By no means am I holding your audience hostage. By no means Am I saying I won't reveal this information if I do not get a shit ton more money?
I mean, Coach does, this show is live. He broadcasts it. So like the idea that Larry is coming on and being like, if you'll have me back on tomorrow, I'll tell you all this great information. Now the possibility is that like Coach would say, no, I don't want to have you on tomorrow. And then the audience will be left lingering.
Oh, my God.
What information does Larry have that only leads them to search out Larry more?
Dan, does he have the – does he have Larry Nichols on?
You bet he does.
Oh, no!
He's on the next day.
Does Larry get some more money?
He doesn't actually explain what's going to happen in 2017 when Hillary's in charge.
Oh, that's a surprise.
But what does end up happening is that Coach has his cadre of weirdos back. Like, he has all the people on Skype.
Oh, I just hope Mark isn't get made angry.
Well, here's the thing. He says the exact same things.
Of course.
Here is him talking again about how you need to protect yourself from voter fraud.
You see, I do not recommend, Coach, you, maybe you and Jared, I don't recommend y'all going to an inner city precinct, just the two of you, and trying to monitor for voter fraud. You could get hurt. Remember last time in Philadelphia when they had the new Black Panthers out there? So
new Black Panthers!
Any veterans organizations or motorcycle gangs.
Motorcycle gangs! Courage,
you can go to these precincts with, say, 8, 9, 10 guys and just watch what happens. And when you see it, do just what I told you. Call the police or report it to the head of the polling place. Call the police and then send that report to us. That's what you got to do. And that will stop a goodly portion of it. Will not stop all of it, Coach. It just won't.
We'll scare some of them away, though, from doing
no!
it.
No!
That's a worse
You're
way.
You're saying the quiet part loud!
Yeah, that's bad. So, Jordan, we're an audio podcast, so it's difficult for you to pick up on why I care to talk about the second appearance at all.
Yeah.
But it comes back to what I told you to remember, and that was what Coach said in the first clip. Larry Nichols is sickly, and he has these tubes, and so out of respect for him, we're only going audio.
Is Larry on video on the second
episode?
He's
on video.
No. How many tubes does he have in him?
They're really trying to play up how sick Larry is in all of this. But he's on video in the second episode. They go so far as to say he's going to be dead soon, and he has cancer.
He's going to be dead soon?
Certainly.
Well, I just talked to him.
Well, I don't know what the deal is about his real condition. He very well may have cancer, or the tons of people online who have said they've contacted his wife and she said he doesn't have cancer. All those people might be lying. I don't know. Who knows? I don't give a shit. It's not the biggest deal for me, really, because his whole life is a series of fraudulent scams. So if he's scamming people into giving him money because he's pretending to be sick, it's just another in a long line of frauds. From a 1998 article in Salon discussing Larry's life in the aftermath of being fired after he made 642 collect calls for the Contras, Larry, quote, faced theft by deception charges in several Arkansas counties. He avoided prosecution by promising to either make restitution, but later filed for bankruptcy and he never had to pay.
Nice.
So
nice work, Larry.
Got out of criminal charges for people he defrauded by promising to pay them back and then didn't because he filed for bankruptcy. He's a lifelong fucking con man.
Jesus, man.
Either way, the only thing I want to talk about in terms of this is in that first interview, Coach doesn't want to put Larry on screen to protect his dignity as he's so sick. On the second episode, he does show Larry on video, and what you see is a con man trying to make himself look very sick. What am I getting at? Well, he has tubes going into his nose, an oxygen machine to help him breathe. He can't even breathe, Jordan. He's just this hero out here trying to, you know, do his best he can, even in his horrible sickness, to get the word out about the Clintons.
Did he blackmail Congress, though?
No, not in this episode. But during the show, which is only an hour long, by the way, Larry lights up a cigarette and smokes it with no concern for the fact that he has oxygen tubes in his nose.
I love
mere
it.
Centimeters away from his face.
Which would make it explode!
This is so severely fucked up. According to the National Institutes of Health, quote, most patients on home oxygen use nasal cannuli. Nasal cannuli tubing is a polyvinyl chloride product, which when ignited emits an intense flame, possibly owing to the release of highly flammable vinyl chloride gas. The prongs of cannula are intended to direct oxygen into the nose. Yeah. A previous study showed, however, that a significant amount of oxygen exits the nose and constantly leaks out and bathes the lower face. Oxygen-enriched environment facilitates ignition and combustion of the material. Smoking while using an oxygen machine is super, super dangerous. You're essentially covering your face in a highly combustible gas and waving a flame really close to that gas. The only two conclusions I could reach from this behavior are that either Larry doesn't give a shit about his health or well-being, is hoping to, quote, accidentally die in a house fire, or that he's faking his illness entirely, and these are fake oxygen tubes that are coming out of his nose. This is hot bullshit. He's straight up smoking a cigarette in the middle of his living room while these oxygen tubes are in his fucking nose on Coach's program. It's crazy.
Dan, when you are writing things out chemically, what does the chemical symbol for adding fire to something look like?
It looks like a guy doing
the rad hand. I thought it was just O2.
Man, it's very, like, if out there, if you're listening and you don't believe me, I don't know why you wouldn't believe me, but like, if you have any curiosity about this at all, look it up. Like, look up the cases, the very frequent incidents of people who are on oxygen machines and continue to smoke. What ends up happening is it blows up, and it blows up and burns most of their face. You can find pictures of this. It's crazy. What's crazy to me is how specific the burns are generally too. They almost leaves a pattern of the tubing.
Like, they actually
because
leave
the tubing burns so specifically.
Have you ever seen those, though? Because all of the patterns that they leave are shaped like a little, like almost like a little piece of paper that says "Call Larry Nichols" on it.
Yeah.
So
call Larry Nichols and tell him to stop smoking while you got a goddamn oxygen tube in your nose.
Believe what you want to believe.
We should call him and tell him to cut that shit out. He's going to blow up his fucking house. But he's not going to, because it's fake tubes.
So wait, that was 2 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And we just called him.
Yeah,
half hour ago.
We don't have recording of it or anything like that. But yes, we called him. Jordan talked to him. He sounds exactly the fucking same.
He sounds exactly the fucking same. He's fine.
The people who talk about contacting his wife and talking about like he doesn't have cancer, they have said that what he actually has is like lesions in his throat.
Yeah,
he has some sort of a situation that causes him to speak like that, and he's using the perception of like chronic illness in order to.
No, I can buy him not wanting to, like, when we talked just now, I can buy him saying, you know, like, oh, I don't want to talk right now, as
I wouldn't either.
I don't want to talk for an hour right now because my throat hurts or whatever it is.
Also,
like that.
If I were him, I wouldn't want to talk to us either. I would put that off.
I think he had a great time talking to us.
I don't think so.
I really think he did.
Nah.
He didn't
ask us to give him any money. Like when
Of course not. He
didn't try and pull that ad pivot on us.
Hell no. Did you hear our conversation? He's not going to try and pull an ad pivot on us. He knows nobody who listens to our show is going to be like, well, we got to make sure Larry's okay so he can come back on the show.
This guy sounds reasonable. No. So my point in this whole thing is that if you actually watch the videos of this, and they never bring it up in talk, like Coach or none of the people he has on Skype are like, why are you smoking?
Of course not.
You're on oxygen. You're telling us this sob story about how you have lung cancer and you're dying and you don't want to go to the VA because you don't trust them. This is bullshit.
Do you know who keeps his face from being lit on fire, Dan?
God.
The Lord.
You bet.
And that is why when you go on Coach Dave's show, doesn't matter how much you smoke, doesn't matter how much oxygen you got in your face, you have the power of the Lord behind you. And the Lord is telling you that the only way to know who is good and who is evil is how bad Hillary Clinton smells.
I would love it if we test that thesis and have someone with an actual oxygen machine hooked up to them do some, like, fire breathing, fire dancing.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that that is not going to be sponsored by the National Institute of Science.
No.
I think they might call that
out.
I think they might call that an unethical experiment.
I mean, this is super crazy. I mean, what I want
really
what I want
really
to say
smoking?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's crazy.
And clearly, like, not rolling his eyes, but clearly there was a look on his face of like, boo. He looked like he was not happy to be talking to these people.
Of course not.
So, but like, look, the thing that I want to say, I can't say this, but I want to say it, and I feel this way. It was a fake tube. Yeah. I think it was.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anybody, like, who has any idea of, like, what oxygen is, anybody who doesn't have a death wish is going to smoke while they have a nose tube in. Right. Larry presents himself as like, I'm a really smart guy. You know, he's not somebody who's unaware of the risks that might pose.
Right.
It's a prop.
Now, I will say this just in fairness, just in complete fairness. He may use oxygen. That may be real.
Oh, sure.
And he may have turned it off an hour or two before.
Totally.
That's entirely possible. I'm not going to rule that out. I'm not going to rule out that he may use that oxygen tube. Because otherwise, I mean.
But he puts it in as a prop.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
He may need it. Otherwise, why would you have it? Unless you're like committed to the scam, obviously he is.
But in the picture shot, you don't see that it's connected to anything. It would be right. Like a $2 piece of tubing or whatever.
Yeah, that's fair.
So whatever the case is, yeah, it's entirely possible that he does need to use oxygen, but puts on the thing as a prop because this is what it's really about.
Larry doesn't know how long he's going to be alive. He told me the other day he hopes he makes it till election day, but he needs funds. Somebody out there, it's Larry. Nichols.info. You can go right there and donate to him.
That was
he
2 years
help
ago.
With medicine with
just talking.
Put
him.
On the breathing device. He needs financial help. So if some people could, you throw 10 or 20 bucks his way. LarryNichols.info.
So this is what he's really up to. He's just trying to con these dumb fucks into giving him money.
10 or 20 bucks
by lying about the Clintons. And, doing his shit.
Jesus.
It's interesting because it's so much more overt here when we look at it in the prism of Coach's stuff than it is on Alex's show because Alex is so much more high-minded. And Alex's audience is so much larger that Larry probably doesn't feel the need to, make it so overt.
Right.
Like, the first time, at the end of the first interview that he did when he's like, nah, can I ask your audience for help? Like that sort of thing. Like
right.
He wouldn't do that on Alex's show.
Right.
He trusts the process with Alex.
Like the Philadelphia Sixers.
Right. So we see here, Larry Nichols gets coached. He's on the coach program and I mean, it's a little bit boring for our tastes, possibly, you know, like big picture. You
yeah.
Know, he comes in, he says more or less the same sort of narratives he says other places.
He does there's Larry Nichols shit.
There's some flourishes there. There's no shadow government.
Nope.
There's, you know, Danny Williams isn't his kid, but also that's in service of just his impotence narrative.
Yeah.
He says some things that are kind of out of character, but like, big picture, kind of a disappointment.
It is what Larry Nichols is. Like, Coach Dave, I think, the problem with it is that Coach Dave doesn't bring it, man.
Mm-mm.
Coach Dave is just there for Larry Nichols.
He respects
Nichols to,
Larry too much.
Yeah, Larry is the one doing everything. And we fucking talked to Larry. Who gives a shit about what Larry is bringing to the table? We
I don't know if he has
table.
Cancer, but don't let him drive. That's what I would... That's, in an interview, don't let
especially
him...
Especially not with cigarettes and oxygen in his face.
No, your car's going to blow up. But like, don't let him lead the interview. It becomes so boring.
Right.
Because of his stilted pace of speech, whether it's because of an actual illness or his affectations or whatever, like he just becomes this low pace.
Listen, I think gay people should be allowed to...
Well, that's what Coach does when he has his druthers.
That you're doing a good job.
Here's a really bad way I'm going to sum this up.
Yeah.
This is a bad episode of Coach's show.
It's a bad episode of Coach's show. That's a great way of putting it.
Like, I've listened to a bunch of them, and they're much more entertaining.
Agreed.
He has Larry fucking Nichols on his show for two episodes, and because he respects him so much in this weird fetishizing of demonizing the left kind of stuff, he sacrifices control of his own brand to Larry, and it hurts him.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And that's, I, the moment you said that, that's a through line with so many of our,
they don't have confidence in their own products.
So many of our people, it's like, if you're, so many of our stable, if you're rolling your belly up for somebody else, it's a bad show for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like if, like with Alex rolling his belly for Gavin McGinnis, like, I mean, what do we got for that? I mean,
tried to make it look a different way. But yeah.
Or with Carrie Cassidy, whenever she's fucking controlling things, she's putting the narrative out there. She's got that shit.
Yeah.
Whenever Reverend David Manning is running the game, shit is going well. But if Coach Dave is like letting Larry Nichols talk. What are you fucking doing? You're supposed to be the asshole.
Let him talk. Well, yeah, but I mean, I think your point is very salient. And I think it's the right point. And that is that, like, what we really are interested in terms of these Wednesday characters is you have your own thing.
Right.
You know, like when Carrie is talking to someone and they insult Mark Richards, she gets fucking pissed at them.
Hilarious.
Because it's her show.
So good.
And
exactly.
You do not disrespect Mark Richards on Project Camelot.
Exactly.
When Alex is an interesting case because, like, when he had John McManus from the Birch Society on,
right.
He showed ass all over the place.
Right.
But at the same time, he, like, with Gavin, I think you misrepresented that.
I think I did too.
He got so mad that Gavin wasn't supplicating that he threatened to murder people.
The moment I brought
yeah.
Alex and Gavin into it, I knew that that was the wrong example. You're absolutely right.
And Manning's just a wild card because he generally doesn't talk to people like on his own show
yeah.
and is just a raving lunatic
He's
who contradicts
chaos.
Himself all over the
He's
place.
Chaos.
But he is his own thing.
Yeah.
Like the stuff that I like to talk about with these crazy ding-dongs is so much like them owning their space. Like,
right.
I like that. I like to see Carrie
right.
Cassidy being like, get the fuck out of here if you don't agree with my version of secret space program
right.
stuff. Get the fuck out. I like, even though I hate everything he says, I like Reverend Manning. I mean, generally speaking, he's just talking to a camera by himself.
Right.
Or
being monstrous.
Or at the pulpit, and then it's just a cult that
yeah.
is under
yeah,
his
yeah,
sway.
Yeah.
But I still like him owning the space. With Wacky Wednesday stuff, it's very hard for me to see somebody who, like, cucks themselves out for someone that we know is a charlatan.
Yeah.
Like, Larry Nichols isn't someone that you should bend over backwards for. Even if Coach does believe all the stuff Larry believes, he still should be Coach. He's not Coach.
Here's the thing. We would never do an episode on, like, if Larry Nichols had his own show,
I would do one.
No, it would be boring.
I'd do one to try it.
I suppose we would do one to try it.
But I've listened to tons.
But I think this is a Larry Nichols episode, and we tried it.
I've listened to tons of episodes of various internet programs that Larry's been on
uh-huh.
and deemed them not worth our time or
right.
whatever.
Right.
Kind of hoping the combination of
Coach
and David. Him would make it somehow more appealing, but you're right. And I think that we had to get to the end of this in order to really realize it.
This was a Larry Nichols show. It wasn't a Coach Dave show.
Yep. Larry Nichols, consumes Coach, when the two come in contact with each other.
Exactly.
If we are going to look at this from like a chemical, standpoint or whatever, chemistry standpoint.
It blew up on our faces. We are the smokers of, oxygen rich environments.
And we've learned a very valuable lesson.
I agree.
Think we will carry that with us going forward. Number one is that we'll talk to Larry soon, but also he's a pile of shit.
Yep.
Second is that Coach is a finite variable, you know? I still want to explore him a bit more in the future, but he's nothing when he buckles, he folds like a taco when Larry Nichols comes around.
He is not a dominant gene.
Nope. He thinks he is, but he supplicates
so
like the best of them.
So quick.
When it comes to someone like Larry Nichols coming around.
Indeed.
So we'll be back. We'll catch you next time. But
indeed.
Until then.
We'll catch you next time.
We same bat time, same bat channel.
Nope. Who's on first?
We have a bat website. It's knowledgebatfight.com.
Knowledgebatfight.com. We're on Twitter. It's knowledgebat_fight.
Knowledge_fight.
We're on Facebook.
Go home and tell your bat you're brilliant. We have a group on there.
Yeah, and we're on iBatTunes, and you know the game.
Leave a bat review.
You don't leave a bad review.
Bat.
Leave a bat review.
I should articulate better. We appreciate everyone listening so much.
Indeed,
thank you all. We'll be back soon.
Absolutely.
But look, I'll say this.
Batman has totally killed a guy.
Definitely.
Batman
definitely.
100%
that guy has
killed a guy.
Fucking body.
No matter how much people want to argue that Batman never killed, no, he's killed a lot of guys.
We talk about Alex as like technically probably killing a guy, probably like if we look at it, it's probably from some aggressive beating he gave a guy that caused like chronic illness.
Exactly.
Something like some Batman has done way worse.
Oh yeah, Batman's done way worse.
Crushed people's sternums, head trauma, all that shit. I would never let Batman off the hook. But I will say that Larry Nichols is a complete fucking coward and a real douche in terms of his own backstory. I don't believe there's any chance that Larry Nichols has ever killed a guy.
Agreed.
But Alex Jones definitely, technically, probably has.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.